We are recording.
Dylan, my video is not starting. It says I can't start because the host has stopped it.
I don't.
You cannot start your video because the host has stopped it. I'm not quite sure what that means.
I just start video. Are you able to see it?
No, I'm not. Uh-oh, what's wrong with my video? Oh, here we go. Okay. Okay, it's 5 after 10 o'clock, so I think it's a good idea if we get started. Good morning, everybody. My name is Marlene Chestnut. That's Chestnut, and I've been selected by the Water, Sewer, and Storm Water Rate Board to oversee this hearing process. This is the public input hearing that's been scheduled with respect to the TAP-R reconciliation filing. Now, the Rate Board has asked me to oversee the process and to write a report for the Rate Board to consider with respect to this annual reconciliation, the TAP-R, which is the Tiered Assistance Program rider. The Tiered Assistance Program is the Philadelphia Water Department, or PWD's, customer assistance program. It's mandated by City Council and allows low-income customers to pay bills based upon a percentage of their income rather than their usage. The TAP-R rider tracks the revenue losses resulting from application of this discount to permit annual reconciliation if they're greater or less than projected. This ensures that the water department does not overcollect or undercollect. There is a court reporter who will produce a stenographic record of this public hearing and the technical hearing, which will be held later. So please be sure to speak slowly and clearly. The transcript for this hearing, as well as all documents produced in this case, will be posted on the Rate Board's website under the Rate Proceedings tab and can be found in the section that says 2024 TAP-R Reconciliation Proceeding. The Rate Board's website can be located at www.phila.gov/departments/water-sewer-storm-water-rate board. Or you might find it easier just to Google it as Philadelphia Water Rate Board. Also, I'll note that the Water Department has prepared a presentation discussing the TAP program generally and this filing particularly, which also has been posted on the Rate Board's web, or has been or will be posted on the Rate Board's website under the section headed Public Hearings. Please note that this hearing involves only the reconciliation of the TAP-R rider, which is intended to ensure that the Water Department does not overcollect or undercollect revenue associated with the program during the preceding year, and to set the TAP-R rate for the next year. This is done annually, and depending on the TAP-R revenue results and the projected number of TAP-R participants, may result in either a decrease or an increase of the surcharge. In fact, last year was a decrease, or an increase, which has been requested this year. This proceeding does not involve other issues, such as whether there should be a customer assistance program, the design and operation of that program, the department's costs or the actual rates for your water, sewer, and stormwater service, all of which have been and will continue to be the subject of separate proceedings. I expect that my report will be issued late May or early June, and the Rate Board will consider it and the positions of the participants and make its decision in June. We will have what is called a technical hearing, on the statements and exhibits submitted by the participants, immediately after this hearing. You are welcome to remain and observe. There will be a transcript of that hearing also, which will be posted on the REIT Board's website. In terms of how I will conduct this hearing, I will first call on people who have registered. If you have not registered or want to comment, that's fine. We'll get to you. Everyone will have a chance to make a statement if they wish. Or you can send a letter or comment by email to the REIT Board. The REIT Board email address is waterrateboard@boa.gov. We will post these email comments and letters at the 2024 Tap Bar Reconciliation tab. When it is your turn, I will call your name and Dylan will unmute your microphone or telephone. I will ask your name, ask you to spell it, and ask if you are a customer of the water department and if you are appearing on behalf of a group. Please try to confine your remarks to the issue in this proceeding, which again is limited to the tap bar surcharge. If you have a question, if we can answer it briefly, we will. Otherwise, someone will get back to you with additional information. If you have not registered and wish to make a statement, please raise your hand when I ask and we'll get to you. To raise your hand, either look for a hand on the bar that contains the Zoom controls on my computer, it's along the bottom, or the icon for reactions and select the raised hand. If you are participating telephonically, by dialing the star button, then 9, that will raise your hand. I'm not going to impose a time limit, but I will ask you to limit yourself to maybe 2 or 3 minutes if possible to ensure that we have time to hear from everyone. After you're done, you're welcome to stay, but you certainly don't have to. You are free to leave at any time. Again, thank you for taking the time to participate today. I want to also thank the customers who took the time to send comments. I can assure you the REIT Board does consider these very carefully, and it's important for you to speak up and be heard. Okay, then with that, we will get started. I have a list that was compiled of people who responded to the REIT Board's website with respect to this. And I'm going to go through that. And like I said, if you're not listed and want to make a comment, that's fine. Okay, the first person on the list is Michael Skandalewski. Are you here, Michael? I don't think Mr. Skandalewski is here yet. I don't see his name. Okay, the next person is Mary Cairns. Cairns. Okay. D. Dukes, are you here?
Lady Commissioner, Community Legal Services has their hand up.
Okay, Mr. Ballinger.
Good morning. I just wanted to note that I do see Mr. Skinzalewski. He shows up as Mary Ann.
Okay. I was going to go back to him after we had gone through the list, but if we want to circle back while we're waiting. Okay, we'll go with Mr. Skinzalewski then. Mr. Skinzalewski, you said you wanted to make a comment? Dylan, can you unmute Mr. Skandalewski?
I'm asking him to unmute. He's not unmuting.
Mr. Skandalewski, can you unmute yourself? Okay, somebody could you like mute yourself there? Who is it, Mr. Skandalewski? Are you having problems?
I am giving him permission to unmute, and he's not unmuting.
Okay, well, we're going to have to get back to Mr. Skandalewski then. The next person I have listed is D. Dukes. I do not see that here either. Like I said, I will go back, and if anybody hasn't, responded, I will go back and do it again. Joseph Siegel, are you here? Mr. Siegel, can you raise your hand? Yeah, it's a little hard because people don't always have their name on their device. So,
Yes, and I'm looking at the scroll. I'm scrolling down the list in their
yeah.
alphabetical order. So as we call them, I just don't see them.
Okay, how about Mr. Wozniak? Huh?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Wait. Let me go through this first. Could you give and spell your name for the record, please?
It's WOSIAK, last name.
And your address?
3115 Frankfurt Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and are you a customer of PWD?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's not necessary to raise this water rate prices. In my opinion, low-income residents and recipients of services of Philadelphia Water Revenue Bureau should pay more for their services because of rising costs of the operation. There is other issues that I would like to address, but maybe would be better at other time. But in my opinion, it would be unfair that the burden of the rising costs of operation would be laid only on a part of Philadelphia water revenue customers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time.
Okay.
The next person I have listed is Bobby Jackson. Bobby Jackson, are you here? Raise a hand, please, if you are, in case your device has a different name on it. As I'm looking at the participant list here. Okay.
Actually, that sounds better. What do you want?
Not
You
sure
can
who's
want
speaking
whatever
here,
you want.
but
Do ungodly acts. An ungodly act. Okay. No, I don't know. I don't know. Well,
okay. Did you want to say something? Okay, we're at Bobby Jackson. Are you here?
Look, we saw
Who saw this? I
yeah,
remember.
but Aaron did.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying. I recognize him.
And I think you need to mute Mr. Skandalewski at this point. Because we will go back. Mr. Jackson, are you here?
Saturday night. It's one piece for us.
Mr. Skandalewski, could you mute yourself? Dealing, you gotta, you have to do this.
Well, rule number one here, everyone's told to shoot it before it gets past the door. All right.
Mr. Scandalewski, could you mute yourself till Dan takes care of this? Okay. Okay, again, this is my call for Bobby Jackson. Okay, how about James Catalfano?
How many spoons
we got? Oh, why did you shout it down the hall? Three.
Healing. Okay, I'm calling James Catalfano. If you're there, could you raise a hand?
That's what I was asking. Yeah. How big of a job that is.
Yeah, they told me it's 60 yards worth of concrete.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, how about okay, how about Philip Bridgman? Larry Porter? Larry Porter. Okay, Larry Porter, if you're not there, we'll move on and I'll circle back. Somebody named Claire. No, okay. Was he at? We got Jeff Jones. David Kovach. Jackie Palmer. Oh, David Kovach. Oh,
yeah, I'm here.
I see you there.
Great.
Okay. Could you give and spell your name for the record, please?
It's David, D-A-V-I-D, Kovach, K-O-V as in Victor, A-C-H. I'm at 2074 East York Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I am a water department rate payer.
Thank you.
I'm commenting on the Philadelphia Water Department 2024 Tiered Assistance Program Rate Rider. First, I'm not opposed to the TAP-R program. I acknowledge that those with less income should be assisted by this program, provided that it is implemented in accordance with the rules. What I am opposed to is PWD and the city in general returning to ratepayers, taxpayers, business owners, and wage earners to recover lost revenue and solve budgetary shortfalls as a result of inefficiencies in Philadelphia city government. PWD and Philadelphia in general need to do their due diligence in collecting debt that is owed to it through unpaid water liens and unpaid property taxes. I would like to know what the total outstanding water lien debt is in the city and why the city is not making every effort to collect that debt through established programs and regulation like sheriff sales. I live next to an abandoned home that is still owned by two deceased people, the last of which died in 2017. yet they continue to accrue water lien debt and property tax debt, which is currently $4,000 and $8,000 respectively. The rightful next of kin of the deceased abandoned the house because it felt it was unsafe to live in. Squatters have been living in the house since 2017 who have been a source of crime and nuisance in our neighborhood. The 26th District Police Department can attest to the number of complaints about the property. L&I has cited the property on three occasions as an unsafe structure, which has never been resolved. Yet the PWD continues to serve water to the property and put liens on the property, which it will never be able to collect unless the property goes up for share sale. PECO continues to serve property, the electricity of the property, and presumably PGW serves gas to the property, but public information about PGW is inexcusably difficult to discover. We have made this clear to the mayor, our city council person, the water commissioner, and our representative in state government, but no city action has occurred. Just down the street from this nuisance house, a similar situation is present. Another dead homeowner, $4,000 in water lien debt, $44,000 in back property tax debt. I can only imagine that there are many situations like that, that if resolved through the sheriff's sale process, would reduce the dependence on ratepayers to solve the PWD lost revenue problem. It would also reduce crime in the neighborhood. Perhaps the homes could be refurbished and sold at a reduced rate to provide low-income families who are willing to pay bills with the opportunity at property ownership. So many solutions, yet so little action by PWD and Philadelphia. It is easier to just go back to the ratepayers to solve lost revenue problems. Furthermore, by letter in 2021, the Philadelphia Water Department threatened to shut off the water to households in the neighborhood unless we set up an appointment to have new metering equipment installed in our homes. I complied, obviously, but did PWD do anything about the abandoned property next to me? When I was in that house years ago, the meter had been removed from the incoming water line, and so they get their water for free. Why is PWD not shut off the water to this abandoned property? What ratepayers are discovering is that there is no consequence for not paying your water bills or your property taxes. And it's frustrating to pay increased rates and taxes to a city that supports squatter houses such as these that bring crime, drugs, and nuisance behavior to our neighborhood. The city has to do something about this ongoing issue. By not enforcing its own rules, the city supports miscreant behavior and the snubbing of city government regulation while alienating those taxpaying and law-abiding citizens who seek to make this a clean, safe, and healthy community in which to live and raise family. I respectfully request a response and action of significant measure to this ongoing problem. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Mr. Kovach, I certainly understand your point. I really do. Unfortunately, that is not an issue in this case. But what I will ask is if Mr. Desant, who is the representative for the water department, will look into your particular situation and get back to you to see if there's anything that can be done. Is that okay with you, Mr. Desant? Okay, Mr. Kovach, thank you. Somebody will get back to you. But again, that really is uncollectibles and liens just aren't part of this case. But will be when the department probably next year files a general rate case. But yes, it's certainly an area that we look at when we can. But thank you for taking the time. Okay, the next person is Jackie Palmer. Palmer. Okay. How about Maria Lee? Are you here? If so, could you raise your hand, please? Okay. James Whitehead. And I should make it clear that this list I'm reading of does include people who wasn't clear if they did want to testify, or if they were simply making a comment. James Allio. I think I did see your name. Yes. Mr. Allio. Mm-hmm.
James Whitehead is there, but he hasn't spoken. So he's unmuted.
We'll get back to Mr. Whitehead after we talk to Mr. Elliott then, huh?
Thank you.
Mr. Elliott? Dylan, I think you do need to unmute him.
Hello.
Okay, Mr. Elliott, could you please give and spell your name for the record?
Yes, it's James, J-A-M-E-S, Alio, A-L-E-O.
And your address?
8111 Winston Road, Philadelphia, PA.
Are you a PWD customer?
I am.
Are you speaking on your own behalf or on part as part of the group?
Speaking on my own behalf.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
My objection to the proposed rate increase of the TAP surcharge has to do with the method of enrolling new TAP customers. In the February 28th, 2024 advance notice of proposed changes of rates and charges for the TAP to the Water Sewer Stormwater Rate Board. This is from Water Commissioner Randy Heyman, his advance notice. It would appear that thousands of customers are automatically being enrolled in TAP. For example, an excerpt from page 6 of the advance notice document states, in the 8 business days since IDEA enrollment began on February 13th and this writing, roughly 12,000 candidates have been enrolled via IDEA pre-qualification and will start receiving TAP bills in the coming days, end of quote. The automatic pre-qualification of these customers through the City Office of IDEA is not problematic if it's done correctly. It actually greatly relieves the administrative burden on customers and the city employees who would otherwise manually process these applications. So that's a good thing. I'm all for efficiency if it's done right. But the water regulations under Section 206.2 specify that customers must apply for this benefit. And I quote from those regulations, a low-income customer or a customer with special hardship may apply to the WRB for enrollment in TAP, end of quote. There is no place where it mentions that these customers can be automatically enrolled without any knowledge or effort on their part. Additionally, in the Philadelphia Code under Section 19-1605, subsection 3, subsection H, in the paragraph titled Eligibility and Enrollment in IRAP being the assistance programs, it states, and I quote, a customer shall be enrolled in IRAP upon approval of a completed application, end of quote. Now, while some may see the above-mentioned distinction in enrollment methods as minor or trivial, I would argue otherwise. Under these proposed TAP rate surcharge, customers will be required to subsidize TAP customers at an average rate of $53 per year, or higher, of course, if your water usage is higher. So the TAP recipients are going to receive benefits for hundreds of dollars a year, and other customers are being required to pay for that. I'm not against that in concept, and like as previously stated, people do deserve help. All I'm saying is that given this benefit that is going to be hundreds of dollars a year, and if it's for year after year, it's going to turn into thousands of dollars for these recipients that other, you know, ratepayers are paying for. I'm just asking that they go through the proper channels of doing this. I don't think it's too much to ask for customers who are receiving the benefit to actually apply for it. I'm not asking to go back to the old way of doing things. That would be horribly inefficient and would not enroll sufficient numbers of, you know, worthy customers. But right now, it's automatic enrollment. It's the Water Department and Water Revenue Bureau can certainly send out notices and application forms and perhaps other methods of outreach to low-income customers. But a formal application and other requirements under this program, I feel, need to be observed as per Section 206.2 of the Water Regulations. It's possible if people are not just automatically enrolled, but actually have to at least, you know, send in some kind of application, that maybe the numbers would be a little less high than they would be otherwise. And that could have an effect on the proposed tap rate surcharge if the numbers are perhaps slightly less than they would be under automatic enrollment. So that's basically my point. I just wish that the Water, PWD, and WRB would follow the regulations as specified. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ballinger, and I mean, you raise an interesting point. I'm not sure I completely agree with it, but I'd have to think about it. Mr. Ballinger and Mr. Desant, why don't you address this? And yes, Mr. Desant? Dylan, can you unmute Mr. Desant?
There you go. The whole purpose of pre-qualification was to get a good portion of our local population involved in TAP if they were eligible. There were letters that went out indicating that they were to be signed up in the program, and there's an opt-out provision in the letter. In addition to that, WRB processes the applications to make sure these pre-qualified candidates meet basic criteria. We will have in the future, and WRB can best speak to this, measures to make sure that we've assigned folks to the right income tier and that we're moving a process that has folks that are income eligible in every instance. We think we're in compliance with the PWD regs. And Jim, it's nice to hear from you. I know you were a former rates manager at PWD. So we're mindful of, you know, your expertise, and I'd be happy to get back to you with a more detailed explanation. But we think we're consistent with our regs and consistent with the direction of the rate board to get as many of our vulnerable folks out there that are customers at least aware of the program. And if they are pre-qualified, we've reached out to them to tell them they can be enrolled. And the city is very much a part of trying to get those enrollments to reflect the fact that we're a very poor city. Rob can best speak to that.
Thank you. And thank you for your statement, Mr. Leo. I just want to, you know, I don't want to speak to the department's compliance with its regulations. That's really not my place. But I think the thing that I would highlight is that this is part of an ongoing effort to share data. So where customers, and you may be familiar with this. So for example, customers who apply for LIHEAP every year have to meet the same income eligibility standard as the energy programs run by PECO and PGW. But those entities don't share information. In the city of Philadelphia actually has changed that, at least for its water utility, in terms of sharing information about other programs. And that started really with the LIWAP program, which was a water assistance program modeled after LIHEAP. So when the department received notification that DHS had approved someone's LIWAP application, meaning they were eligible for that grant assistance, they tried to determine whether or not that person was the customer of record, and if so, enroll them in the tiered assistance program since the income eligibility standard is identical for that program. So I know also that in our testimony, we've taken the position that the department should reach back out to these folks to make sure that they, you know, understand the information that led to their enrollment. And I believe the department's rebuttal testimony does speak to a quality assurance endeavor that they're going to be undertaking, which I would hope would be responsive to your concerns.
Okay, well, thank you very much for bringing this up, Mr. Leo. Again, an interesting issue in terms of is the pre, I mean, I see a distinction between the pre-qualification, and I think your point is to the automatic enrollment. But what Mr. Desson explained, and maybe I just understood this, was that these potential TAP participants were provided with notice and an opportunity to opt out. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so they impliedly did enroll, I mean, affirmatively enroll. But again, an interesting issue, but we'll think about it. Thank you.
Madam Hearing Officer, you do have a hand raised.
I'm sorry, who has their hand up? Oh, Mr. Haber, go ahead. Dylan, can you unmute Mr. Haber?
Thank you. I'm also a participant in the proceedings, and I wanted to make the point for the public. This is clearly the double standard that the public advocate and the water department and the hearing examiner use to excuse the inefficiencies of the water department. Mr. Kovac correctly pointed out that the water department is not collecting on old water liens, and if it did, it would have money that it could use to support the low-income plan. The hearing examiner said the regulations don't allow for that. But here the regulations are very clear. A consumer has to ask to be in the program, but those regulations are set aside because it's in the interest of the water department, the public advocate, and the hearing examiner to ignore that rule. But to require them to do work so there's no rate increase is allowed, because they say the regulations don't allow them to do what's necessary to protect Philadelphia water consumers. And I hope all the public understands that this double standard is what is constantly used to raise rates. 4 years in a row, rates have gone up. 4 years in a row, the hearing examiner, public advocate, and the water department have said management audits are not necessary. They're not included. They're not part. I want to just stress that as a participant in discovery, I ask the water department, what is the norm? What is the standard? What do other utilities charge to enroll someone in their low-income plan? Because I believe, as other people have spoken, the water department should be efficient. The water department's answer is, it doesn't matter. It's not germane to these proceedings. It doesn't matter whether they're efficient or not efficient. And again, this is a double standard that's being exposed at these hearings. And I hope people contact their city council people and make it clear that the water department should be run for the benefit of the water consumers and not the benefit of the hearing examiner, the water department, and the public advocate.
Well, thank you for Okay, thank you. Thank you for your statement, Mr. Haber. It does contain a number of inaccuracies, which I won't get into here. I will point out that this is not a general rate case to look at the water department's operations and costs. This is purely addressed to the TAP water reconciliation, which actually last year was a decrease. But, you know, it's not my decision as to the scope of this proceeding. It's set in the regulations, and this is what the filing is. Next year, your concerns, which are valid, believe me, I absolutely agree they're valid, but it's not the case to address them in. The next case will do that. Okay. Let's see. Let's go back to Mr. Whitehead. I think I saw you here. Mr. Whitehead? Okay.
Mr. Whitehead is unmuted.
Yes, he's unmuted. I'm not sure he knows that, though. Mr. Whitehead, did you mute your... is your speaker on? Have you put your speaker up? He's not muted from our side, so... Dylan, is there anything we can do for Mr. Whitehead?
Not on my end. We can come back to him and I can see. But he has permission.
I wonder, is your speaker up, Mr. Whitehead? Okay.
Mr. Whitehead, if you want to log back in, hold on, let me do it again. And let me give you permission. Try now, Mr. Whitehead.
Right now.
I think we lost Mr.
I think
Whitehead.
We lost him. Yeah, I don't even see him now. Well, Mr. Whitehead, I'm sorry, but if you want to send comments in or maybe try this again, certainly we'll do what we can from our side.
Your Honor, we have been in touch with Mr. Whitehead. We will reach back out to him as well to ensure that any information he wants to provide, he can provide it to us or to the rate board directly. I believe he was holding up his phone, suggesting maybe he'll be calling in, but we will reach back out to him.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, let's get back to Mr. Skandaleski then, since I see he's here. Dylan, can you unmute Mr. Skandaleski?
Last name, please.
S-K-I-N-D. He's under Marianne, I should say.
Okay. Thank you. He has to unmute himself.
Mr. Skandaleski, you have to unmute yourself.
He has permission.
Mr. Skandaleski, can you unmute yourself? Oh, I see Mr. Whitehead's here. Maybe we can try it again.
All right. Hang on.
Yes, hello.
Mr. Whitehead, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was using my desktop. Now you say, you know what, let me just use the phone.
Could you please give and spell your name for the record first?
Yes, my name is James Whitehead, JamesWhitehead. And I am also a customer to the water department. My address is 3401 Tampa Street, and I also have a company called a marketing company, and we are also customers as well. My question is, because it's 4 years in a row that the rate hasn't increased, like there are nights the tap bar, the consortium who are
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Could you?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you a few seconds ago, though.
All right. So, like I said, I am a resident in 3401 Tampa Street, and I my company pays the water bill, and I pay water bill over there at my house. So the problem that I have is, at what point does the rate increases stop? I'm not against the tap water and helping people pay for, so people can be able to pay for the water, but I am against the increase, and I think that there needs to be another way to help fund it instead of just people who are able to pay it completely. I think that there needs to be, the Philadelphia Water Department needs to find other ways to pay for it. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure in terms of an answer to your question, but other funding sources. I will say that every utility, except perhaps the smallest water or gas companies, have similar customer assistance programs where people who are financially unable to, who are financially in poor shape, can pay based on a percentage of income rather than their usage. And they're all basically funded the same way. I think it's the residential customers who pay these costs associated with other residential customers. But in terms of whether city council can include it as a budget item or something like that, I don't know. But this really is how they're funded. And I think, well, no, I won't say that because I'm not sure. But thank you for raising that question, because it's certainly legitimate. I mean, in terms of who should bear the burden of this. But yes. Anything else? Okay. Mr. Skandalewski, I'm not sure where you are at this point. I'm not sure you're even still here.
Madam Hearing Officer, you have a hand raised, Lance Haver.
Hand raised. Mr. Haver?
Thank you. I'd like to address Mr. Whitehead's statement. Mr. Whitehead, it is true that throughout the state, the burden has been put on consumers to pay for consumers who cannot pay for themselves. But at one point, it was legal to discriminate based on race, gender, based on sexual orientation. We have moved beyond that. When we have found there's a need for justice, we have tried to address that. And what you're pointing out is exactly that. There is a need for justice. It is fundamentally unfair to ask people who are struggling to pay for the people who have fallen behind and are no longer able to care for themselves. The water department has the revenues to take care of this. We heard Mr. Kovach talk about the water department's failure to collect on water liens. What he didn't talk about was that the water department has what's called a rate stabilization fund, which has over $130 million in it as we listen to this demand that we pay more. $130 million. They have an additional slush fund that's available. So when we hear the water department say they're going to automatically enroll people, even though the regulations say they can't, but then say the regulations don't allow them to find money for someplace else, we see the duplicitous nature of the public advocate, the water department, and the hearing examiner. The money is there. Philadelphia is not a poor city. We are a city of tremendous wealth with a very unequal distribution of that wealth. The money is there in the city budget. It's there in the water department's budget. It would be even more if the water department actually did their job efficiently and collected on the old liens. So please contact your city council person and make the demand that they hold the water department, the public advocate, and this hearing examiner accountable, and make sure they understand that just because we were wrong in the past doesn't mean we have to be wrong in the future.
Thank you. I'm not going to get into an argument, but I would like people to understand that It's completely misplaced. And there's just no basis for it. This is a proceeding directed solely to the TAPR surcharge. And it's got to be funded. The funding is set. I mean, there's a formula. It's reconciled. It goes up some years and it goes down some years based on the actual experience. It has nothing to do with how efficient the water department is or how they run their operations or social justice for that matter. But again, this isn't appropriate. We're here to listen to you customers, not to have people pontificating. So I'd like to get back to the list of people who have indicated they would like to speak and make sure that we've picked up everybody. Again, yes, it's unfortunate that there is an increase. And I'll be honest, it is a substantial increase in your TAPR surcharge. And it's basically because of the surge in enrollments. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think the last rate case did establish that people who are in a customer assistance program have a better payment experience than people who are not, but can't afford to pay their bills. So it's not completely one-sided here. There is a benefit to having customer assistance programs that goes beyond the fact that people have access to a necessary service. But again, we can get into that at the appropriate time in the appropriate place, and I don't think this is really it. But I want people to understand that people want to understand and be realistic about what this hearing is about so that they're not disappointed or angry. You know, I mean, yes, nobody likes to have their bills increased, but sometimes it's not unavoidable. And again, this is the TAPR surcharge. This is just not even to talk about the surcharge itself or the program itself. It's to reconcile the experience last year and project it for next year. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. Last year was a decrease. It's not like every year it increases, because it doesn't. That's just not true. So let's go on. I'm not sure who Jessica is, but I see she has a hand up.
Hi, I just wanted to point out, name for the record is Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-C-A, last name Ragusa, R-A-G-U-S-A.
I'm sorry, address is name. Hold on a second.
Sure.
R-A-D-U-C-A?
R-A-G-U-S-A.
And have you signed up to speak?
We have not. I just wanted to make a general point about just parity of communications to avoid issues like what we're running into. The fact of the matter is, this is the only hearing I've ever received an email for well in advance. Not one for a rate increase, not in the last several years. And I think it's important to point that out. If we're getting mixed messages here, some of it has to do with the PWD communications process. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, how about Dee Dukes? Have you? I see somebody has their hand up. They're not actually being called on right now. So can you hold off a second while I check and go through this? Dee Dukes, are you here? Unless that is you. Are you Wayne Whitfield? Again, it's kind of hard to understand. I guess. Dylan, can you unmute that person and we'll see what the situation is?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? No, I'm not Dee Dukes. I'm Wayne Whitfield. And I guess in general, I'll second what she said. This is the first time I've ever been notified about this meeting, which I'm happy I was. But what other, you know, I totally understand, you know, the increased number of people that are applying the increased number of people that are going to automatically be entered into the program, which, you know, is beneficial for the city and for, you know, everybody. I'm not against that. What other avenues other than a pure rate increase were looked into? And by that, I mean, I know that, you know, there's water distributed to some of the suburbs and things like that. Is it always just active recipients in the city that have the rate increase, or is that a universal increase across the board?
I'm not quite quite sure I understand your question. If you're asking about who pays rates.
I'm asking who is like some of the water that is, you know, they send out to other municipalities. Are they seeing a rate increase as well, or is it just, you know, customers inside of the city?
This is just the tap R, which is okay. Only, it's the surcharge paid by customers of PWD. You're looking at, I think, people who bought like off sales systems to other water companies and things
correct,
like that.
Correct, correct.
Okay, that's other sources of revenue for the water department, but that has nothing to do with this program. That's just their general operations. This is solely about the tiered assistance program.
Understood. So, and then I also saw in the discussion or in the information that I read through that, you know, one of the benefits is the application process. It's going to be automatic or more automatic as opposed to filling out an application once a year and going through that process. They said that that had streamlined things and also, you know, reduced the number of hands-on people that'll need to, you know, go through these applications and all of that. Then could we expect to see, you know, a lower cost for those employees doing that type of work down the road that might, you know, offset this a little bit? Or is this purely just this many people increase, this is how much it's going to increase everybody's water bill?
Well, I'm sure that there are increased efficiencies by not having to have each utility separately evaluate people for entrance into their customer assistance programs. I think that's one of the benefits of the data sharing, is that it does cut down on administrative expenses. And I hope that that will show up, and because it will certainly be looked at in the next general rate case.
And I guess real quick, the last question I had is, as far as I know, being a Philadelphia resident my whole life, the water bill has to directly be billed to the owner of the property. And then I know that, you know, lots of cases people rent and the landlord or the owner of the property passes that on to the tenant, understand. But the bill's always in the owner's name. I guess that what I'm questioning is that seemed like a with the income standards, I think it's 150% of the poverty level. That seems like a really high amount of people that are owners of properties in the city. With the current property rates in the city, which have gone up pretty dramatically over the last few years since COVID, it just seems that they're, all of these people are owners of property making, you know, poverty level income. They own a home. And I'm just wondering how, like, I know that this data is coming directly from, I believe, the state's database of, you know, who is on assistance. You know, is there any verification of that? I mean, it just seems like an extremely high amount.
Absolutely. The income is verified. That's the whole point of the process, actually. It, you know, if you want to, Mr. Ballinger probably could get back to you and talk about the process.
I would appreciate that greatly. That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Just for the record and for all who may be interested in this, the owner of the property is the sort of default customer for the water department, but tenants and other occupants of properties can apply for and receive and be approved as customers of the water department, which is really important because, you know, we have about 11,000 tangled title properties where the owner is either deceased or whereabouts unknown, and the persons living in the properties, typically relatives, don't have their name on the deed. We've worked with the department over the years to make sure that there is a pathway for those folks to become customers and also to apply for assistance programs like TAP. So the owner is sort of the default customer because their name is on the deed, but others may be permitted to become customers of the water department and to enroll in these programs.
Okay. And if you want to ask further questions of Mr. Ballinger, I'm sure, or Mr. Desant for the water department, I'm sure they'd be happy to follow up. Okay. I am going to go back again through my list to make sure that I didn't miss anybody. Mr. Siegel? Joseph Siegel? I don't see a hand up. I could say it's kind of hard because people have different names on their devices, but okay, how about Bobby Jackson?
Madam Hearing Commissioner, Mr. DeSant would like to speak. I'm going to unmute.
Oh, okay. I'm going through my screens here. Sorry. Mr. DeSant, you have to unmute him, Dylan.
Yes, I'm giving permission to him.
Or you have to unmute yourself then, I guess, Andre. Did you unmute him? Did you unmute yourself, Mr. DeSant? Hang on. Dylan, did you unmute Mr. DeSant?
I am giving him permission to unmute, and it's not unmuting him.
Oh, well, that's you then, Andre.
Oh, there it is. Oh, thank you. I just wanted to indicate that the Water Department would like to respond to like Mr. Kovach's inquiries earlier and get back to him to share, you know, our position as to what's happening in the property adjacent to his and to also give him fresh information about how we deal with lien properties. Mr. Alio also raised issues that we'd like to respond to. And that had to do his interpretation of the regs. And we'd like to provide a written response to that. Mr. Haber said a number of things that we'll probably address in the technical hearing. And we need to dwell on it here. But we disagree with his position. But he knows that very well. And that's really the sum of my comments. Just wanted to make sure folks knew the department will get back to them on their concerns. And that was Mr. Kovach and Mr. Alio. And there may be others during the day that we'd like to respond to.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's get back here. One last call for Mr. Bobby Jackson. Again, I have to go through my screens here to make sure I'm not missing somebody's hand. So give me a minute. James Catalfano. Are you here? No, okay. Philip Bridgman? Marie Ali, are you here? Okay. Mr. Skandaleski, where are you at this point? Were you able to unmute yourself? Dylan, can you unmute him and then he can unmute himself?
That's the person identified as Marianne, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Madam Hearing Officer, he's not unmuting himself.
Michael, can you unmute yourself, please? Michael Skandaleski, come on. I know you want to talk. Michael Skandaleski, please unmute yourself. Okay. Why don't we just go through, and if somebody hasn't been called on and wants to make a comment. Again, I would like to ask you to limit yourself to the tap bar surcharge, which really is the subject of this investigation, if you can. And I do want to assure everybody that concerns about cost and how the department is run, they are looked at and they will be addressed formally. But just not in that this is a limited, very limited kind of technical proceeding. There is a formula, in fact, that's used to establish the rate. So, okay, let's go through and see if there's any hands up. I don't really see anybody.
Madam Hearing Officer, I see no hands to recognize at this time.
Okay. Okay. Then if there's nothing further, I think we'll adjourn. And like I had indicated previously, immediately, we'll take a short break, of course, because I am old. And then we'll have the technical hearing at which the participants will present their witnesses for cross-examination. And of course, anybody is welcome to observe it if you wish.
Madam Hearing Officer, there is a hand raised, Mr. Haver.
Mr. Haver, yes. I think you have to unmute him. Go ahead.
I would like the record to reflect how many names were called and how many people.
Oops.
No, the transcript will show that.
Yes, I would like the record to reflect how many names were called.
Yes,
all of the record, technical.
The record will show that.
Right. How many testified?
Yes, the transcript will show that.
How many testified in favor of the rate increase? How many testified against the rate increase? And
again,
what
not relevant, but okay.
It's not relevant who testifies in favor of the rate increase or against it?
Yes, because this isn't a rate increase. This is a reconciliation.
Right. So,
okay. Martha? I saw somebody named Martha with her hand up.
She is unmuted.
I'm sorry, where are you?
Hi, this is Martha Moore.
Okay.
And I just really have more of a suggestion. Has the City of Philadelphia ever offered some sort of recovery or rebate to, you know, since they've created this program where they've been offering this assistance to, you know, needy families and everything? And I'm just asking because I really am not sure.
I'm not sure what you mean by a rebate.
I'm not sure if this program has been, you know, going for a very long time.
Again, I'm not quite sure. People who qualify financially as needing assistance do receive assistance to obtain their service. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. So if I'm a homeowner and let's say I've been providing assistance to this program for the last 10 years, do I qualify for any sort of rebate in terms of what I've been contributing to the assistance program?
I think the answer to that would have to be no. You don't get it back. if you've been paying the surcharge because you're financially able to do so, I don't think there's a refund. But if you do qualify for a TAP-R program, then you would receive that.
Right. I do understand. I was just wondering if anyone has ever opted in to look at other solutions for, you know, taxpayers or property owners in terms of being able to offer them some sort of rebate. That was more of like a suggestion. That's all.
Well, okay. Maybe not rebate as such, but again, this proceeding really isn't to talk about the program generally or rates generally. It is a reconciliation so that if the water department overcollects revenue through this, it's returned to customers, the other customers who pay it. That's the purpose of this reconciliation. Like I said, sometimes it will increase, as it will this year because of factors. But sometimes that it goes, sometimes it, the projections are not accurate and the water department over collects and that is returned to customers. That will be like last year. There was a decrease in your tap bar surcharge because the water department over collected the revenue associated with it. So to that extent, I guess I would have to say, yes, there is kind of a rebate when they over collect, although it's not called that, of course. It's just a decrease in your rate. Does that help you?
It does. So there's never really any return of the funds, but the way that the city looks at it is just that you won't pay as much. The surcharge amount or the percentage will be less is pretty much what I understand.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's a prospective rate, which is based on past experience.
Okay.
It doesn't say we're returning you X amount of money. It's just that that's reflected.
Okay.
If you have further questions, please feel free either to send an email to the rate board or ask Mr. Ballinger or Mr. Desan. I'm sure they'd be happy to explain it to you if you have specific questions about it. Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Madam Hearing Officer, just one point. We're happy to respond to that question as well. And I thought one issue that came up concerning outreach earlier will be addressed by the hearing exhibit that we provide. It shows the type of outreach we did in this proceeding, and we're constantly trying to improve that. But we're glad we're reaching people through email or other devices, and you'll see the various steps by social media we've taken to tell folks that this hearing is taking place. And our participation this time is significantly more than prior years also for a tap bar proceeding. So I think all of that suggests that we're trying to do the work.
Okay, thank you. And I would refer people to the presentation in terms of explaining how the tap bar program works and its history. The presentation that the Water Department put together and can be found at the Rate Board's website under public hearing. Jessica, well, I see Mr. Regis had his hand up for a while. Dylan, do you want to unmute him so we can see who he is?
Being unmuted.
Good morning to everyone.
Did you want to make a statement, Mr. Regis?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Could you give and spell your name for the record?
My name is Guy Regis, and my address is 427 North 61st Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19151.
And are you a customer of PWD?
Yes.
Are you appearing on behalf of a group?
Yes, I will say that on behalf of the whole group, because I figure out that what's hurting me is hurting everybody else.
Okay, so you're speaking on behalf of other customers then?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been receiving a water bill for a vacant property for 2 years, and I've been paying that every month. And when I finally get inside the building, because I was giving the place to my son and my son abandoned it, when I get in it, the water is not on. And I've been paying every month the water bill. When I call in behalf of it, they said to me that it's a stone water, but they don't charge me for service fee. I said stone water for $52. They said to me, yes, the size of the property, that's why you pay the stormwater. And I said, okay, right now I'm a senior citizen. I'm 72 years old. Do I have to keep paying that every month for a vacant place? They said to me, yes, you have to. Is there no discount for that? And I say, okay. When I was talking to the lady, and she said to me, okay, there's going to be a hearing if you want to let them know you're crying for, you can come to the Zoom meeting and make them hear. that what hurting you. And this is my request. Can I have such a discount price for the bill that they've been charging me for 2 years with the vacant place? And the water is not on. There's no usage in it. And do I have to keep paying the same amount every month for a vacant place?
Okay, Mr. Desant, why don't you get together with Mr. Regis and see if you can work this out?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. If Mr. Regis will either share an email with me or I can share mine with him. It's literally my name, Andre, A-N-D-R-E, dot C, like cat, dot Desant, D-A-S-E-N-T, at gmail.com. And then we can have a conversation and sort this out with WRB on the as a part of that conversation.
Okay.
Is that okay, Mr. Regis?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Do-
Jessica, are you Jessica Ragusa?
Yes, that's correct. I just wanted to reiterate, I just took a moment to catch my breath, that I can applaud the efforts of outreach regarding this particular meeting, and I do agree that there was great effort put into it, but I would also just formally request that an equal amount of enthusiasm is placed on communicating when the rate increase hearings are happening, giving ample notice equal to what this was, whether it was 4 or 6 weeks, it was more than ample. And I do believe that that would really allay some of the issues we're having here, where I have not heard one person who is in disagreement with the program. There's a lot about the rate increase and who shoulders the burden. And I agree that that's probably a different conversation. And I don't think that the department is being disingenuous here, but it does read as interesting that, you know, the rate increase that we're debating here is being attached to a program we all agree we very much need. But none of us are being afforded a true opportunity to debate the real issues here. And so I applaud the efforts for this hearing. I love that there are many people participating civically. And I would love more of that from the water company. And so I'd like to very specifically request that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Haver? Dylan, can you unmute Mr. Haver?
I was not finished. There were two things to be noted for the record. I ask again that the number of people who are in favor of the proposed increase in rates, which is zero, be noted for the record. And the number of people who are opposed was 100% of the people who spoke were opposed to the increase.
Okay, I don't think that's true, but certainly the transcript will reflect what people had to say about it.
I'd like the transcript.
No, the transcript will reflect people's actual statements.
Okay. I'd like the transcript to express the difficulty that the hearing examiner has had in allowing people to speak electronically through the Zoom.
Well, I certainly don't agree with that, but the transcript will speak for itself and people can draw their own conclusions.
Well, will the transcript include the hearing examiner's quotes? It's kind of hard to understand and we're having technical difficulties. The hearing is
unmuted. Yes, the transcript will show that, actually, but yes.
Thank you.
But yes, but again, Mr. Regis, is there something else? I mean, we need to move on to other people.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
So I've been hearing that gentleman speaking in behalf of increase or decrease, and I'll figure that he's right because it's not only me suffering. I talked to hundreds of other people that have been suffering that water bill increase, and they disagree with it. So when I'm speaking in behalf of everybody that will suffer with that same calamity.
Okay, thank you.
And also, I see the increasing the bill even on the vacant property. I had a piece of vacant land that who had nothing running to it. I just fenced it and let it sit there and had to pay $41 water bill in it every month for a vacant property. But I called, they said to me that when it's raining, the water from my vacant lot goes on the street
Okay, Mr. Regis.
I say, are you charging me for running water?
Okay, thank you. And I think you've explained your situation, and the company's going to get back to you about it. Mr. Ballinger, did you want to comment on this too?
I just wanted to point out that this rate proceeding and the TAP R rate that we're talking about here, it applies based on the amount of water used. So a vacant property would not experience any change in the billing as a result of this unless there's water running in the property. So if there's no water running in the property, this proceeding will not result in any change to the rates. And Mr. Desant can confirm.
Yeah, we will reach out. I believe that is true, Rob. But more importantly, we'll reach out to Mr. Regis to get all the particulars of his complaint and problems that he has and explain what proceeding was the best venue to for him to make a contribution in the future and where we are so we can see if we agree or disagree.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarification. All right, is there anybody else who wants to make a comment on the issue in this case, which is the TAP R filing? I'm going to look through my screen here and see if there's any hands up. So I do not see anyone.
Madam Hearing Officer, there is a gentleman.
I see your physical hand up. Are you?
There's a yes. I can unmute him. Let me. Do you want to call on him?
Yes, he's muted though.
Thank you. I have to unmute him.
Can you unmute yourself, sir?
He's not unmuting himself.
Okay.
There he is.
Now we're unmuted.
Okay. Did you want to make a statement?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, stop.
I know. You want to know who I am and all that?
Yes.
My name is Art Desjardins, D-E-S, capital J-A-R-D-I-N-S. And my wife's name is Rhonda Goldberg. The water bill is in her name because she owns the house. It's R-H-O-N-D-A-G-O-L-D-B-E-R-G. And we're at 1210 Wellington Street in Philadelphia, PA 19111. With the TAP recipients, I don't know what kind of programs you are encouraging for them to save water because they're getting a discount on it instead of wasting water. I know that there are programs that, like the rain barrel program that the Philadelphia Horticultural Society administers, and we use that for all our outdoor watering. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are watering lawns or gardens or whatever and wasting water there that are on this program and not trying to conserve water. And conserving water is one way to try and reduce the water bills that we're subsidizing for those folks. And I don't think there's enough effort being put into conservation for the people who are getting the benefit of reduced rates. And if we're paying for people who are wasting water instead of trying to conserve it, it seems like we're giving away something for free that should be have something attached to it to encourage them to not waste water. It's one of those things that you see people who, for instance, we had a neighbor who had an issue with a water main and so on, and he had to have a whole lot of work done and so on. But he's a homeowner. These people, a lot of them are renters and so on, and they're not invested in trying to conserve the resources that the water board provides, but they're getting a benefit from it that's coming out of everybody else's pocket. And I know you said that, you know, if you overcollect, that it's going to be, you know, remitted back to the customers and so on. But I think that there ought to be more encouragement for conservation efforts across the board for everybody. We try to reduce our water usage as the kids have grown and moved out and so on and gotten their own homes and have their own water bills. we've reduced our usage, but that doesn't mean our bill has gone down. And there's always constant increases in everything. It's just the way of life. Inflation and increased costs always make everything go up. But we're paying more now for water than we did when we had four kids in the house. So it's one of those things that I would like to see the water board possibly attach conservation efforts and conservation tips, particularly to the people that are benefiting from this program. I know you're trying to do everything you can to reduce the costs by automatically enrolling people instead of having them have to follow the theoretical rules of filling out applications every year. But I think that they sort of need to have some sort of obligation on them to reduce their water usage since they're getting it at a reduced rate.
That's a good point. And absolutely. Not sure it's shown how usage of TAP-R participants compare to usage of non-TAP-R participants. But again, it's a very good point. And Mr. Dasan, I think I saw something about the conservation efforts that are made by the company. I think they send maybe you could just make a statement, or Mr. Ballinger, I guess maybe might be the better person here.
I know that there's a lot online about it. That's how we
found out about the water barrel. I'm talking about a specific communication to the TAP-R customers individually.
Yeah.
Offering conservation assistance. Mr. Ballinger?
Yes, and I wanted to thank you, Mr. Desjardins, for speaking today. We did actually ask about the department's low-income conservation assistance program, which is a program that it has a third party that administers, and we got a little bit of information. But I think to your point, one of the things that we look at in a general base rate case are issues like this, are issues about programs and services that are provided to customers. Are they aligned? Are they consistent? Are they working? And just to give a little bit of background, the City Council ordinance that authorized this program actually requires participants to accept and reasonably maintain any water conservation work that is performed for them. So like if low flow shower heads are provided, that sort of thing, by the city. So, it's a very, very good point. And it's something we're very interested in working with the department on to improve and help conserve water.
Madam Hearing Officer, the department also agrees that conservation is important for all customers. And for, this program, we also sort of have various, incentives to participate and offer every encouragement to have conservation undertaken for the customers under the TAP program. Mr. Abrams can speak to that in greater detail, or we can respond in writing, however you prefer.
Okay, Mr. Desjardins. Oh, somehow you're muted again. Is that you or us? Dylan, can you? Can you take care of that? Dylan, can you unmute Mr. Desjardins? He's listed as iPad 3.
He has to unmute himself.
Oh, okay. Mr. Desjardins, you got to unmute yourself then. Mr. Desjardins, I'm sorry, you're still muted.
There he is.
No.
Okay, it finally unmuted. It had cut me off, and I had to try like four times to get it to play. But I thank you very much for allowing me to speak on this. Conservation is something that I think all of us need to be aware of when it comes to all our resources. But our water resources here in Philadelphia are vital to so many people for so many reasons that we need to conserve as much as possible to be able to have what we need for as many people as possible.
Okay, I totally agree. Thank you. Now, any other customers who would like to make a statement? Let me look through here. No, I don't see anybody. Make sure okay here.
Madam Hearing Officer, I see no hands to recognize at this time.
Okay, well then, I think we'll conclude this portion of today's hearing schedule. I want to thank, again, I want to thank everybody for coming out. I want you to know that when you're talking about issues that maybe aren't within the scope of this proceeding, such as unaffordable bills and the department, your voices are being heard. And I can tell you that I and the Rate Board take this very seriously, take your concerns very seriously. If someone had asked me if they should testify here, I would say absolutely. You know, it doesn't hurt. And as I also like to remind the Rate Board and everybody, it helps to see a face of the customers. It's easy to talk about the PWD's customers or the residential class, but it really does help to see actual faces. And remember that these decisions affect actual people in their actual lives. So it's really good that you took the time, and I really can't thank you enough. So why don't we take a 15-minute break, and then we'll resume with the technical hearing. Again, you don't have to stay for it, but if you want to observe it, you're more than welcome to. Okay? Thank you very much.
Hearing recording is paused.
Let me organize myself here.